So how do we get there? Well, what are the basics? What are the basics? When we are to stir people up, what do you stir up people? What is normalcy? What is pleasing God? What is simple spiritual health? What does it look like? Well, just four items. Number one, time listening to God by feeding on His Word. That's what scripture reading is. When I read the Bible, I listen to God. How much do you listen to God? Well, let me ask you, how much do you listen to anything? Some people listen to music all their waking hours. In fact, as a pastor who visited people in their homes, I found that most homes had either a television playing all the time in the background or some kind of music playing all the time in the background. It was like it was never quiet. They couldn't stand anything quiet. Nothing wrong with music, nothing wrong with the television. But what are you listening to? Do you spend time listening to God? That's a basic. That's scripture reading. It takes 72 hours to hear everything God has to say. Have you ever heard everything God has to say? You say 72 hours? Yeah, that's for a sixth grader. I would assume most of you are above sixth graders. For an average sixth grader, it only takes 72 hours to read the Bible out loud. The first basic, time listening to God by feeding on His Word. Number two, time applying God's Word to my life. That's scripture memory and meditation. That's the essence of how we change. That's the essence of how we have spiritual victory in our lives. So basics are being in the Word. So in the Word, that's reading it, and have the Word in us. That's memorizing and meditating on it. So those first two take time, scheduled time, disciplined time. It's very important that we make those choices. Number three is time talking to God. That's kind of like speaking truth to God. See, prayer is not me manufacturing a whole list of things I need. It's me having a conversation with God about the truth that I've been in the Word, and the Word in me prompts, and I start speaking to Him about it. And what I start saying is, God, I want to see Your truth. I want to see Your power unleashed in me. I want to see Christ living in me. I want, as we saw yesterday in yesterday's class, I want the justifying death of Christ to become the sanctifying life of Christ through me. Do you know what happened to the early church? People would look at them and say, wow, they've been with Jesus. In fact, the first nickname of the early believers were, in Antioch, you can look this up in Acts chapter 11, they were called Christians. Now, that's very common today. It started in Antioch. Do you know why? It was mockery. They said, oh, they're little Christs. That's what Christians is. It's a diminution. It's a tag, slang. It's a racial slur back then. Oh, they're little Christs. They could tell that they'd listened to God so much, they were in the Word, that the Word was in them, and they were speaking the truth to God. And look at number four, time talking to others about God's plan of salvation. That's witnessing and soul winning. That's the outflow. The outflow of the Word. The Word that I'm in, the Word that gets into me, the Word that flows from me upward to God flows outward to the world. And that's what witnessing is. I just testify it's true. People are talking and moaning about stuff that they're going on in their life. Say, hey, I understand that. I understand what it's like to feel guilty. I understand what it's like to be paralyzed by fear. I understand what it's like to be totally enslaved by lust. That's what Christ delivered me from. Now, I'm not perfect. Remember, these people in Philadelphia were not perfect. They were just faithful, obedient to the truth. So basically, the way we do the basics is we ask people, when we see them, we say, hey, what are you eating? What are you reading and feeding your soul upon from God's Word? I started way back in 1978 as a youth pastor, 1978. I mean, most of you weren't even alive in 1978. I was a youth pastor down in South Carolina. I had 100 students in my youth group, and I made a deal with them that whenever I saw them in this little small area where we live, this small town, that I would walk up to them and I would ask them, where are you eating God's Word? Tell me one thing that you're learning from God's Word. I'll never forget today. I saw one of my youth group on the sidewalk walking toward me. I walked confidently toward them, and all of a sudden they went that way on kind of a tangential sidewalk going off. And they just went as fast as they could away from me. And I thought, huh, I think I know why. Well, about, just before supper that day, I was back walking, and I saw that person walking directly toward me. And I just smiled and said, hi. And they stood there kind of all expectant and waited. And I said, what's up? And they said, aren't you going to ask me? I said, ask you what? You see, when they had seen me coming earlier in the day, they had not yet spent time, what? Eating the Word of God. So they left. They didn't want me to ask them. They didn't want, most of us don't want to fail. We don't want to be seen not as best as we could be. And so just my presence reminded them they needed to eat. They went and ate, and they couldn't wait to share it. Did you know that's the blessing? That's what stirring people up in the basics is all about. What are you eating? What are you reading from the Bible and feeding your soul upon from God's Word? And if you remember what they say the next time you see them, if they say the same thing, you say, that's what you told me last time. And they go, you remembered? And that's an even greater reason for them to be in the Word every day. Chewing, number two, that's this Word in us. That's memorizing and meditating from God's Word. Now, something to think about, I tag right here, is Jeremiah 15:16. You know what that verse says? That's a good one to chew on. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and thy word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I'm called by your name. That's what happens when the Word gets in us. Breathing. What are you praying and beseeching God for? What are you speaking the truth of the Scriptures inside and to the one that loves us and bought us? And going. Who are you seeking and sharing the gospel with? By the way, what are the impact of chastening on a compromised, worldly Thyatira's life? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 11 and also in Hebrews chapter 12 that God will chasten those who are not obedient to him. And those who don't repent and live lives of sanctification, the Lord will deal with them.